Good morning. Let's just briefly pray together before we turn to God's word. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that we've already been here worshiping you. We thank you that you are here by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that no matter what kind of week we've had or what we feel about ourselves, whether we feel good about ourselves or whether there's a sense of shame or guilt, whether there's a sense of distance, whether we feel close to you, we thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you that through the cross we come with confidence, not in ourselves, but in confidence in the blood of Christ, which enables us to come into your presence. And so we pray now that your Holy Spirit would come and illuminate your word, that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what you have to say, that we don't simply spend this next time just hearing words, but we hear what you have to say by the power of your Holy Spirit in only the way that you can. So we ask that Holy Spirit, you would come and help us to see Christ more clearly. Help us to not just know about you, but to know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been through Joseph, and that was some journey, some bumpy journey, if we all remember that story. But we've now moved on to a new series called Growing. And we're really excited about this series because growing is a healthy thing. And we've experienced growth as a church in terms of numbers, but not only in terms of numbers, but in terms of actually growth in personal life. And it's our desire to see each and every one of us, including us as pastors and elders, grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. But I wonder if I was to ask you this morning, over the past year, do you think that you have grown spiritually as a follower of Jesus? If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, have you grown in your personal walk with him? So often in our experience, we maybe don't grow, and actually we represent more like this sad little ivy plant here, which is on its way out. It's dying because it hasn't been cared for in our household, and I take full responsibility for that. It hasn't been watered properly. It's had a lot of sunshine and maybe too much sunshine, but not enough water. But we ourselves, if we can be honest for a moment, can be spiritually dry. And I wonder if that's you this morning, that you, if you're really honest, if it was just really, okay, God, I'm being really honest before you this morning, I'm spiritually dry. I don't really meditate on the Bible anymore, or very rarely. I don't really pray much unless it's an emergency. I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about how I can serve and love other people. I'm actually quite spiritually dry. But none of us really want to stay in that position, or we shouldn't want to stay in the position of being dry, of not growing, of being stunted in our growth. And it's possible that this morning we're here, and we might even be dead, as the Bible says, spiritually, because if we don't know Jesus, we're dead in sin and not alive in Christ. But the amazing good news is that God's desire is for each and every one of us to grow, is not to remain spiritually dry. Is not to remain like a dry ivy, but to grow. Where's the other one gone? It's in front of you. It's not behind you. It's in front of you. But actually, this is a healthier looking plant in our house, which is amazingly, or not, you know, believe it or not, peppers can be grown in Scotland. And this has been growing in our house. So the peppers will come at some point. Colin McPhee, this is what peppers look like. Just in case you didn't realize they actually grew on a plant. So, but we want to have healthy growth. We want to grow spiritually, and we don't want to look like that dry plant. We want to be growing, and this fruit that's born from that. That's why I like growing vegetables, because you can actually eat them. Flowers are good. Most of them you can't eat. But to grow vegetables, to see the labor, the fruit of that labor, and to see healthy growth in a healthy plant. Surely all of us, why wouldn't we want to be growing in our faith And Sunday, as we come together around the word, is part of that growth, but it's not all of our growth, that we have a role ourselves to connect with God in the week, to pray, to listen to him, to study his word. And so it's not a case of just sort of coming to the gym once a week, as it were, and thinking that's enough. But actually, we want to see growth. So if we got the slides up behind. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 to 12, and over these next few months, we're going to be going through some of Corinthians to look at what does growth actually look like. Okay, so we're thinking a bit about growth, and we see that growth is a development, that none of us have arrived. None of us have arrived as pastors and leaders. It's not flicking on for some reason. The gremlins have arrived once again. So we just flick it on from the back, Charlie. I'll just have to say next, and then it'll flick on to the next slide. So we see that growth is a development. It doesn't happen, as we were seeing with Alison and the children. You know, you're not born as a fully fledged adult. You are born as a baby, and then you have milk and then a little bit of solids, and you spit out some carrots and mush and apple and all that kind of stuff, and it goes all over the floor, and then eventually you grow and you know you can have a steak and chips when you're a big boy or a big girl. You can eat the real kind of big juicy fruit and the juicy food. Like, growth is a development, but we should want to grow. So thinking about 1 Corinthians 12:1. We're thinking this morning specifically about what it is to grow in terms of spiritual gifts. Now, this is maybe an area that you have not thought about a lot. Maybe the church tradition that you've grown up in hasn't thought a lot about spiritual gifts. Maybe this is something that you thought a lot about. But wherever you are on that journey, we want to see what actually Scripture says. We want to see what 1 Corinthians 12 says, and we're going to be journeying through that over the next few weeks. So first of all, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, we just flick to the next slide. Why do we have spiritual gifts? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12:1, let's just read those first three verses. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So what is going on here? Well, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, and some of them have got some really weird ideas about spirituality. Some of them mix it up with things like Gnosticism, that, you know, you have to be on a higher power, on a higher plane, and that you have this knowledge that's above everyone else. Some of them are mixing it up with idolatry and pagans. Some of them are carrying out spiritual gifts like healing and prophecy, and are getting a name for themselves, and actually are taking all the glory for themselves. And they are what you might call thinking of themselves as a first-class Christian, and everyone else is a second-class Christian, because they have this special gift, and you need to kind of bow down and worship them. And let's be honest, that maybe some of us have got a suspicion about spiritual gifts because we've been put off by the kind of shiny suit evangelist that goes around telling everybody how they have an amazing power to heal everybody. And we all kind of go, oh, well, I'm not really like that. I mustn't be very spiritual. Or that's just a bit weird. Or how come that person always just only ever does events like that and nothing else? And so the reason that Paul is speaking to this church is that they are being influenced by certain types of teaching, and he wants them to know, well, what does it really look like when the Holy Spirit is moving in our life, and what are gifts really look like? And what's important to say at the outset is that there is the fruit of the Spirit, which is really about our character. It's about love, you know, and about patience and kindness, and every Christian needs to have the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in their life. That's about our character. And there's no point running after and chasing after spiritual gifts if we're not actually running after and chasing after the fruit of the Spirit. Because we can be really pig-headed and horrible at home and unloving and kind, but say, oh, I have an amazing gift of prophecy, but I really can't stand my wife. It doesn't really work like that. The two have to go hand in hand. But the gifts are what we exercise and how we equip and how we enable one another and the church, and it gives evidence to the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work and alive in our lives. But too often we see this as a kind of elevated thing that, oh, if I could only have the gifts, then people will think I'm a super spiritual Christian and that somehow we'll be like a superhero of the Christian faith. And we're not like to be like Superman or Batman where we fly or we deflect bullets. We are human beings who are filled by the Spirit, but yet we still fail and we still let each other down and we still are imperfect. But actually God in his grace and his mercy as a loving Father wants to give us good gifts as his children. And that's amazing. And so we need to be influenced by the right Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So in verse 1, now about the gifts of Spirit, do not be uninformed. So we need to be informed, but we also need to not chase after wrong kinds of spirits. Just because they've got the name Christian on it doesn't mean to say it's right and it's true and it's good. And he says, therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. But actually, Jesus is Lord. And it's very hard to say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is working in your life and opening your eyes and showing you that the Father in his love and his mercy sent Jesus to die on the cross and rise again in order that we might be called into his family and known as his children. That whole stuff, that amazing stuff, is a work of the Spirit. You don't just wake up one morning and go, yeah, I think I'll give Christianity a try. And if you have, that's not a great way to do it. It's actually got to be a work of the Spirit in our life that opens our eyes, that gets us to the point where we utter with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, because you cannot do that in and of yourself. That when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. And at 18 years old, when I became a Christian, that was my hardest thing. To actually tell other people that, yes, telling my parents, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why was it a problem? Because I had pride. Why was it a problem? Because there's a spiritual battle. Why is it a problem for you? Why is it a problem for me? Because there is a battle that goes on, and being a Christian in and of itself is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in our salvation. So we are to be influenced by the same one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not just any Spirit. We are to be influenced by him. But here's a question. What are you being influenced by? If you're honest, what are you really being influenced by? Is it the books that you read? Is it the films that you watch? Is it the people that you hang out with? Is it your work culture? Your university culture, your college culture. Who or what are you being influenced by? Who or what am I being influenced by? And here's another related question. Who are you influencing? Who are your people? Who are the people that are influencing you and that you are influencing? Because ultimately, we need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be influencing others in terms of being salt and light, no matter where we are, where we go. And secondly, on why we need to be influencers, so that we're all influenced by something, but we also need to be influencers. So that when you're totally absorbed by the culture and all you ever do is think about what's on TV or what's the latest book, or you're absorbed by a certain kind of philosophy, you are absorbed by that, and then you will influence others with that. None of us are in neutral. None of us are in a blank space. We're all influenced by something. But what Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthians and what he's trying to encourage us to do through his word is be influenced by the Holy Spirit and be an influencer. Why? Well, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it's the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So it's the same Holy Spirit at work, but there are different gifts. It's the same Spirit at work, but there are different types of service. But the continuity is it's the same Holy Spirit, not just any Spirit, but the Spirit distributes gifts in different ways. So that in this room, that the Holy Spirit can distribute gifts, different gifts to different people. Why? So that you can just go, isn't it great that I have a gift of knowledge? I'm just going to shine my badge and walk around KCC with, hey, check my gift, I have gift of knowledge. Or check my badge, I have gift of prophecy. Yeah, you need to come, anything about prophecy, come and ask me. It doesn't work like that because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the common good. Sadly, there's been loads of bad theology on the Holy Spirit, which is about supercharging yourself, turbocharging yourself, so that you look like really rammed up like on some kind of energy drink, that you can be hyper and full of the Spirit, and everyone's going, wow, you are really spiritual. But the gifts are given for the body, to build the body up, that we might encourage one another, that we might bless one another, and it's the Holy Spirit that distributes the gifts to each and every one of us, because he is a good, loving Father who loves to give gifts to his children. So just think about it, okay? If you're a parent here, you'll probably get this. You know, you're looking forward to your birthday, and you get a gift and it's shaky, and then you open it up and it's that classic box of Maltesers. You know, that kind of present that you kind of always tend to get. Loads of Maltesers in that box. Now, you could get that gift and go, oh, that's great. Thanks, kids. I didn't really expect to get that box of Maltesers this year, but here it is again. Brilliant. And actually, I secretly like it. Keep giving it. So the box of Maltesers comes, but you can go, well, actually, I'm just going to sit here watching TV and I'm going to have one after another and just keep popping them in, or get them on a straw and, you know, do that game and all that kind of stuff. And you can just eat them all yourself. Or you could have that gift and say, would anyone like one? Share it around the room. Everyone partakes in that gift and is blessed by that box of Maltesers. And that's really what Paul is getting at, is that the gift isn't just for you to get on your high horse and think amazing, but it's the gift is to bless one another and share it and encourage one another and use the gift to build other people up for the common good. So I love this quote from Thistleton, who says, "The public manifestation of the Spirit serves the common advantage of others and not merely self-affirmation, self-fulfillment, or individual status." Can't we see how healthy it is when we want to bless others by what the Holy Spirit is already doing in us? It's a gift to share. And we need to be very aware that in the culture that we live in, that is very self-focused at times, that we don't spiritually just hold on to what we have, but actually we look to bless one another and bless people in the workplace and be an influencer by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we go, we are influenced by the Holy Spirit and we are living out what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. So what are the gifts? So we've thought about the why, but what are the gifts? Well, we read in 8 and 9, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. So we think about the gift of wisdom and knowledge, and these are intrinsically connected to Jesus. There is not a kind of other knowledge above Jesus, because that is Gnosticism. If you say, well, actually, we've got the Bible, we understand who Jesus is, we know the Holy Spirit is working in us, but I have a higher knowledge, that's where people got into Gnosticism. The wisdom and the knowledge is the kind of wisdom and knowledge that we see in the book of Proverbs and with Solomon, where God gives people wisdom and insight and knowledge to what is going on. He gives them that godly wisdom and knowledge. Not that suddenly you're going to say, hey, I'd love to have the gift of the wisdom and knowledge, because then I could go on the University Challenge and I'd be just blowing everyone away on University Challenge or Mastermind because I've got this incredible wisdom and knowledge. It's a godly wisdom and a godly knowledge that he gives to us. But he also says that he gives us the gift of faith. Now, we might be thinking, well, faith, isn't that a bit obvious? That people who come to faith in Jesus are surely exercising faith. So what's the deal there? How's that a gift? Well, the kind of faith that he's talking about is people that take really, really big steps of faith, that are given this gift of faith. When everyone else says, that's going to fail, that's not going to work, we're never going to get the money for that, that vision's never going to happen, can't see that working, the gift of faith is given. And that person says, well, actually, we believe that God is saying this and we're going to go for it. And how do we know that? And what does some of that stuff look like? Well, George Muller, a famous Christian who cared for many orphans over the years, was once to sail out to North America. And as he was about to go, the captain said, "We cannot sail this ship." He said, "Well, why can't we sail the ship?" He said, "Well, it's just incredible fog and we're never going to get there. I know you've got to go there to do a speaking engagement, but it's not going to happen. You're not going to get there for Saturday." So George Muller, in a very kind and gentle, godly way, said to the captain, "Can I just come on your ship and can we just spend a bit of time talking?" So he just spent some time talking with the captain of the ship. And then he said, "You don't mind, but I just want to pray. And I want to pray in faith that actually that fog will lift and that I will get to go to speak to these people in North America." And so they prayed. And then as they came up out of the boat onto the deck, the fog had completely lifted. Now that's a man of faith that can take those kind of risks, that says, "I'm going to believe this in faith because I believe that God has called me to go and speak to these people." And it's true. And George Muller says that my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. Isn't that great? That so often that we can focus, as Anna was talking about, focus on the giants that are in front of us. And we just focus on the mountain. We focus on the problem. We focus on why we can't do this or how that's not going to work or how that's not going to happen. But as we are here in our 10th celebration, it's amazing to think that of the faith that was exercised in this church. Well, how are you going to afford a building like this? How are you going to get the money to do a building like this up? How are you going to actually buy it, do it up, and then see it operating and functioning? How are you going to get a pastor? How are you going to get two pastors? How are you going to get a children and families worker and an administrator? How are we going to do what we do? How are we going to get a garden next door? There's been steps of faith that's been exercised, and we don't want to be a church that stops exercising faith, because that actually means drying up and looking like an old ivy plant. A healthy church is one that grows and actually produces fruit and produces disciples. And we want to be exercising faith, and we pray that the Holy Spirit increases that gift of faith for us as a church, that we will see his kingdom come. And so we need to exercise the gifts, not just to know about the gifts, but exercise the gifts. It's one thing to know about training to do a marathon or a half marathon. It's another thing actually getting out there, getting in the gym, doing the running, doing the training. And so often in our Christian life, we talk about, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be great? But are we being filled by the Spirit, and are we exercising the gift, or are we simply kind of spiritual couch potatoes, sitting around wondering what's going on and feeling dry? But we also see that what the gifts look like in verses 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And now some of us are going, this is getting a little bit weird. I'm not sure I kind of like the sound of these kind of gifts. But this is God in his word who's distributing gifts for the good, the common good of the church, to enable and equip the church, to bless the church and send them out. And God is a God still of miracles, who works miracles today as he did yesterday and as he will tomorrow. And some of those miraculous powers are hard to kind of pinpoint, aren't they? Sometimes I remember a friend of mine saying that he was in a car coming back from a conference with the Christian Unions, and he could see that they were going to come off the road and crash. And he just at the time just shouted out, "Jesus, save us!" And miraculously, this car, I mean, it was tipping, came back on the road, and they didn't get in a crash. That's the kind of stuff. It's just scratching at the surface of how God can miraculously intervene into our circumstances, because he's a God who's outside time and space and history. He's the creator, the Alpha and the Omega. But what about prophecy? What do we think about prophecy? Well, maybe that's one again that we see people who, you know, getting a big conference and saying, "Come to my prophecy conference, I'll teach you everything about prophecy, and don't bother with church because really prophecy is everything." But actually we need to see that prophecy is really about hearing from God and hearing truth from God and speaking that truth into situations. It's nothing really weird. It can happen sitting over a cup of coffee with somebody one-to-one, and they're talking to you about their life and situations, and you just sense the Holy Spirit, because some of these gifts are kind of interchangeable. Maybe the Holy Spirit's given you some wisdom in the situation, some discernment, and you just say, well, actually, having heard you, I just think that God's maybe saying this in your life. Does that sound true? It's just as natural as that. It's not going to be on a platform of 5,000 people. It's just hearing from God and speaking truth into situations. And sometimes when we take time to listen to God, whether that's like me walking my dog. So if you see me out walking my dog and I look a bit spaced out, it's because I'm trying to listen to God. It's not that I'm spaced out. But not that I do it all the time, because I maybe check the football scores or something like that. There are distractions that come in. But it's just about hearing from God and sometimes taking a risk when we hear from God. Because sometimes what God does in prophecy is he speaks to us and asks us to say things that we don't actually want to say. There's a commonality there. So your heart starts beating very fast and you say, I don't really want to say that to that person because they may not like me. And as humans, we like people to like us. So if I say that to that person, they might not like me. But actually, I believe this is what you're saying. I love the story from Mike Pilavachi, who is a pastor in Watford and heads up Soul Survivor. And he tells a story about a guy he knew called Sam Miller. And I'm just going to read the story because it's better reading it in his words regarding prophecy. He says, Sam was walking through a park when he noticed a man sitting alone on a bench. As he was passing, Sam sensed the Lord say, his name is Daniel, and he feels as though he's in a prison from which he can't escape. I want you to tell him I love him and I want to rescue him from his prison. In fear and trembling, Sam went over to the guy, introduced himself, and asked if his name was Daniel. The guy responded rather aggressively with a no. Sam was deflated, but decided that he may as well tell the guy the second part of what he thought the Lord had told him. And at this, the man began to weep and told Sam that his name was indeed Daniel, that he'd lied because he was freaked out that Sam knew his name, and that he was sitting on the bench preparing to commit suicide. Sam sat with him for 2 hours, introduced him to Jesus, prayed with him, and the following Sunday took him to church. Now Daniel knows there is a God who loves him and loves being part of his new church family. Why wouldn't you want to be obedient to what God is saying to you when you can literally save the life of somebody from committing suicide because you actually say, okay, God, I want to bless this person because it's not just about me, it's this person. And when we think about prophecy in tongues in about a month's time, we're going to be looking a little bit more in depth at that in 1 Corinthians 14. But just to say very briefly about tongues is that it's a gift from God again. Maybe some of us have had experiences where you say, well, unless you speak in tongues, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. Okay, that's nonsense. That is not scriptural at all. It's God who distributes the gifts, and he doesn't give the gifts to every single one of us. You don't get the whole shebang. There are 17 gifts listed in scripture. But he does say eagerly desire the gifts and that we can speak in tongues. And that's an edifying thing, that we can use that in our personal prayer life. Sometimes when we don't know what to pray, we can pray. I speak in tongues. I'm happy to tell you that because I want you to know that this stuff is real, because it actually helps me when I'm preparing a sermon. God, what do you want me to say? I hit a wall, pray in tongues, the Lord. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing, but it's connecting with him, and then sometimes a story and illustration will come. Some of us don't speak in tongues, and that's okay, but some of us have different gifts, and that's the whole point. And we're just going to see as we wrap up in terms of how does this work, is that in 11 and 12, at these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. Okay, I didn't get the board out, but very easily, imagine a primary school picture. Here is the head. The head is Jesus. The stick man is us. We are the body, and we make up the body of Christ, and we all have different gifts. And so we need the arm, and we need the leg, and we need the kneecap, and we need all the other parts of the body, because we're all different, and we all have different gifts. But Jesus is the head, but we're all part of the same body, and it's him who gives us these gifts. You can't whip it up and say, I need this gift, and you need that gift. He is the one who distributes the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he gives it to us as a body, because we need one another. We need each other as the body. And lastly, how? Well, ultimately, we've been hearing this through 1 Corinthians 12 all the time. It's ultimately the Holy Spirit who gives us the gifts of the Spirit. So in the original Greek, it's not actually gifts, it's manifestation. So actually, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that his people will exercise these gifts. So we should be expectant that these gifts are existing in our lives if the Holy Spirit is at work in our life. How does it happen? Well, I believe primarily through the Bible. I believe that when we read the Bible, God's Holy Spirit works in such a transformative way that he speaks truth in our life. And if we're struggling right now to read the Bible, and we say, well, I'm struggling in my relationship with God, it's probably high chances that if you're not reading the Bible, you're not hearing from God, and you're not hearing truth, and you're not hearing that foundation that's got to be in your life and my life. I want to recommend to you, I downloaded an app called The Bible in 1 Year. Maybe you're better at listening than just reading. Maybe you drive to work every day. If you download the Bible in 1 year, you can listen to the New Testament and the Old Testament, and you can listen to a commentary on that each day. And the other day I put it on, and about a month ago I was reading a passage. This is before I got the app, but I was reading a passage, and it's in 2 Chronicles 20:12, and it says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And I just sense God saying, wow, that is such a humbling passage. That whether we kind of think we know what we know or we don't know, we have to take the humble position in regards to who God is and who we are and keep our eyes on him. And then about a week later, I open up the Bible app. And in the introduction, it's through HDB, Nikki Gumbel said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That was about a week after I'd read this passage. And I thought, I never heard of that Bible passage in my life. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are thousands of verses in the Bible. But God spoke to me about that verse. And then a week later, I opened the app. The verse was there again. God speaks prophetically through his word. And so we need to be people of the word. And if we're not in the word, we're going to dry up like an old ivy plant. We need to be through prayer, not just speaking to God. Here's a shopping list of what I want you to do for my children this week, or how I want you to keep me safe, or how I'd like a nice pizza, or I really like that new smoothie. I haven't tried it yet. Lord, please provide it. But actually listening to God. So whatever way we are, whether that means going for a run, walk, in the car, whatever it is, we spend time praying, listening to God. Otherwise, we will dry up. We need to be people that speak to God and listen to God. And that still small voice, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God works through his Holy Spirit, prompting us. Some of us will wake up in the night and feel that we need to pray for somebody. Some of us will have an impression of somebody in the church that we feel really burdened for, and so we send them a text and we encourage them with a Bible verse. Some of us have a real strong sense of somebody who's in need of help, and you might phone them and say, how are you doing? That's how the prompting of the Holy Spirit works, because it's actually for the good of the people, and it's not just about me getting a good buzz out of it, but it's actually about blessing one another as he distributes the gifts. And so the last slide is, are we potentially dead or dying? Are we going to stay in that position? I don't want any of us to stay in that position. I want us to, under God, be filled with the Holy Spirit and be alive. Maybe we're here this morning, we don't know Jesus, we haven't trusted in him, and we're spiritually dead, but you don't have to stay in that position. You can be alive in Christ as the Holy Spirit works in you and experience forgiveness and freedom from your shame and your guilt. Maybe we are dying and we need to realize that we need to get back and draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Maybe we are alive and maybe we're growing, and we want to give thanks for the fact that God is at work in our life, but we don't want to go from here to here, because actually to go back to there is just not great. It's not good. It's not glorifying to God. It's not healthy for the body of the church. And so may we all look to be growing by the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be looking to him. And so maybe this morning, as we close, I'm going to ask the band to come up now, if that's okay. Just as we close, we want to sing this final song. But I'd just like us all to stand now before we sing. Can we just all stand where we are? And I'm just going to pray, and then the band can even start playing if Ross even wants to start playing the keys. And I'm going to ask the prayer ministry team to come forward right now. So we're all on our feet as we are, and the prayer ministry team at the front. And I'm going to pray in a moment, but I just want to encourage you that if you feel like this dry ivy plant, the Holy Spirit will distribute his Holy Spirit to you and fill you afresh that you might grow. If you're somebody who does feel alive but wants to really grow, and you're not quite sure what gifts it is that the Holy Spirit is distributing to you, you maybe want to come and just say, you know, can you just pray for me? I just want the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what gifts does he want me to use for this body, for this church. So let's just pray. Father, we ask that you would come now by your Holy Spirit, and that you would distribute your power at work in us, that we might not be dry ivy plants, but healthy, growing and thriving because of a loving Father who wants to pour out his Spirit on us. And so, Holy Spirit, come now and fill us afresh. Distribute these gifts afresh, that we might see and hear more clearly what it is that you're doing in amongst us, that we might bless one another. And so I pray that just if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, as we just before we sing this song and as we sing this song, just come forward for a brief prayer of blessing and filling of the Holy Spirit. And may we just be glorifying you in all that we do and we say, Jesus. Amen.